Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmasa and Le'zecher Nishmasa, Rivka Bat Avraham Tzvi, Alaha Hashalom, the mother-in-law of Laura Huberfeld. She was Niftaris this past month, Rivka Bat Avraham Tzvi, Alaha Hashalom. She was Zocha to Kvura on Har HaMenucho. Yes, if it sounds familiar, Laura Janis, we sponsored last week, and this week, Le'zecher Nishmasa, her mother-in-law. She, along with her husband, they were married for 63 years. She now joins her husband in the rightful place of rest in the Olam HaEmes, Pinchas ben Moshe Aharon. May both of their neshamos merit aliyos in the schus of the Torah that we share. And they should be meitzei yoshar for the whole family, for besuras tovos, and simchas, and kol tov, and shafa bracha. So we are continuing, interestingly, similar Mishnah to what we learned last week. Last week we spoke about Machol Keshehi L'Shem Shemayim, Parshas Korach, Sofa L'Hitkayim, V'She'en L'Shem Shemayim, Ein Sofa L'Hitkayim. Any quarrel, strife, dispute that is for the sake of heaven will endure, and that is not for the sake of heaven will not endure. So when I was reciting Pirkei Avos this past Shabbos afternoon by Mincha, we read Perek Dalet last week. Excuse me, this week we'll read Perek Hey. And I read the following Mishnah. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Dalet. Rabbi Yochanan Hasanlar Omer. Rabbi Yochanan the Sanlar used to say, Kol Kinesia Shehi L'Shem Shemayim Sofali Hitkayim. V'She'en L'Shem Shemayim Ein Sofali Hitkayim. Rabbi Yochanan the Sanlar used to teach that any gathering, every assembly that is for the sake of heaven will endure, and every gathering that is not for the sake of heaven will not endure. So I thought it was very appropriate for us to go to this Mishnah this week, given that last week we spoke about Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim V'She'en L'Shem Shemayim. Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim is the Machlokas of Hillel and Shammai. She'en L'Shem Shemayim is Korach V'Kol Adar. So, and lo and behold, I'm reading Pirkei Avos after Mincha, Shabbos afternoon, and I read an extremely similar Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Hasanlar Omer, Kol Kenisi Yashim Shalmayim Sofa Lehitkayim, She'en L'Shem Shalmayim Ein Sofa Lehitkayim. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Again, Perek Dal, Mishnah Yodalad, any assembly or gathering that is for the sake of heaven will endure. Any assembly or gathering that is not for the sake of heaven, excuse me, will not endure. So I'm going to begin by a small vignette, as quoted by Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, also known as the Rav Zatzal, that he tells about his grandfather of Chaim Brisker Zatzal. Okay, so the first Agoda, the organization, the Agoda, the meeting was held in Katowice, I don't know exactly how they pronounce that in Europe, in 1912. Okay. So the Rav was told the following story about Rav Chaim from a Nachman Goldman, okay, who lived from 1895 to 1982. He was the co-founder and president of the World Jewish Congress. So this Nachman Goldman, who was born in 1895, who was the co-founder and president of the World Jewish Congress, told the Rav this story about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker Zatzal. Rav Chaim attended the first meeting of the Agoda. Again, it was in Katowice in 1912. By the way, I think it was the Pesach edition of Mishpacha that had a whole article on Brisker, Rav Chaim Brisker, and it mentioned this story. And I've never seen it brought down anywhere else. And it was also brought down in Mishpacha in an article about Brisk and the Salvechik dynasty and Rav Chaim. So it's been verified, at least to my eyes, in two places. I always like to say where I'm quoting from. I'm quoting from the Rav Thinking Aloud, transcripts of personal conversations and drashos of Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik. So, okay, Rav Chaim Brisker attended the first meeting of the Agoda in 1912. However, he simply observed the meeting without saying a word. When asked why he was silent, he answered with the following parable. This is what Rav Chaim told over. A man went into a grocery store. He asked for the price of onions. Again, we're talking about in Europe 100 years ago. The shopkeeper responded, 10 kopecks. The man asked the price of radishes, and the shopkeeper said, again, 10 kopecks. This went on for potatoes, 10 kopecks. How much are the beets? 10 kopecks. Everything in the store was 10 kopecks. The man went over to the shopkeeper's wife, and he said to the wife, how could everything be in the store? How could everything in the store be the same price? Is everything 10 kopecks? So she says, listen, my husband only knows how to say one phrase, 10 kopecks. So whatever you ask him, he's going to answer 10 kopecks. So it's a little bit humorous, but there was a lesson. Because that's Rav Salvechik about his grandfather. Rav Chaim said he was the same way. He only knows how to say one thing, Divrei Torah. But at that convention, nobody was talking Divrei Torah. Apparently, it wasn't the topic of conversation. It was a political gathering, at least in the beginning. So he had, of course, the Agudah has come a very, very long way. I don't know what happened at the first Knessia of the Agudah, but this is what this Mishnah reminded me of. And again, I saw this actually story corroborated in an article in Mishpacha related to and about Rav Chaim Brisker and the Soloveitchik dynasty. Apparently, it wasn't a conversation, so he had nothing to say. The shopkeeper only knows 10 kopecks, so he says 10 kopecks. Rav Chaim Brisker only knew Divrei Torah. They weren't talking about Divrei Torah at the first Agudah convention in Katowice in 1912, so he had nothing to say. Kol knisya shehi l'shem shemayim sofah lihitkayim, v'she'en l'shem shemayim ein sofah lihitkayim, similar to what we learned last week. So when there is a gathering for the sake of heaven, and all the people are like-minded, it will endure. When there's not a gathering for the sake of heaven, it will not endure. So I thought that I was going to begin. Not I thought, I am going to begin. I prepared to begin. I'm going back to the Sefer that we've only used in one, in a few of our shiurim, and since then I haven't referred to it, but I went back to today because I wanted to know more about this Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler. And I was wondering to myself, it's famous that he was a sandler. He worked with shoes, a shoemaker, and perhaps that influenced his teaching because he was in commerce and in business. Did this influence the idea that when a gathering is for the sake of heaven, when there is honesty and integrity, it will endure? Because we know that when one deals with business, whether it's shoes or diamonds or food or any kind of trade, there needs to be a sense of I'm working l'shem shamayim, because if I'm working for the shame of myself, then that leads to corruptness, unfortunately, and it leads to things that are not appropriate. So kol knisya shehi l'shem shamayim, says Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler. So I specifically wanted to know more about him. Oh, I see my mother-in-law. Hi, Ima. Good evening. Okay. We were just zochet to spend yesterday evening together. We had a graduation barbecue for my daughter, my mother-in-law's granddaughter, Kanai Nahar. So two nights in a row, we get to be together. Welcome back. Okay. So I went back to this Sefer. Remember I quoted from it by Hillel and Shammai. It is Introduction to the Talmud, History, Personalities, and Background from Art School. So I looked up the biography of Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler. It's not as lengthy as that of Hillel and Shammai, but I found it to be very interesting. And even though I haven't done this so often, I really do think it's important because we throw around the names of our Gedolim, of our Tanaim, and our Mara'im, and the truth is, myself included, we don't really know who we're quoting or anything about them other than their name. So I thought, regarding this Mishnah, let's learn about this. He was a Tana, who was a later student of Rabbi Akiva. By the way, if anyone listened to my morning shiur, as it was about the later student of Rabbi Akiva. So this Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler was a Tana. He lived both in Egypt and in Eretz Yisrael, and he was one of the later students. In other words, he wasn't one of the 24,000 who died, Maseches Yevamah 62b. He was one of the newly established students of Rabbi Akiva, not the first five, but later on, I guess Rabbi Akiva established a few more students. So here we go. What's his biography? Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler was born in Alexandria, Egypt. That's based on the Gemara Yerushalmi Chagiga, where there had been a large, this is very interesting. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. Remember, if he was a later student of Rabbi Akiva, so we're talking about he lived after the destruction of the Second Temple. Rabbi Akiva lived by the time of Churban. We know they see Har Habayis lying in ruins. So his students lived at the time after Churban by Yesheni. This is very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler was actually born in Alexandria, Egypt, where there had been a large Jewish community from the time of the destruction of the first temple. The Jews were in Egypt, a large community from the time, and also we're coming up to, of course, the 3 weeks when we talk about Churban from Galus Bavel, apparently a large Jewish community from the time of the destruction of the first temple was established in Egypt. That's where Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler was born. He made his way to Eretz Yisrael and became one of the primary students of the great Rabbi Akiva. His colleagues were the other students of Rabbi Akiva. Some of these names we know, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, they're listed in the Gemara in Yevamos, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is one of the famous students of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Hein Hein, Mehemidu Torah Ososha. The Gemara in Yevamos says that those are the five that held up Torah at that hour. He was a colleague of these, they were his chavrusos, if you will. The name Sandler refers to his occupation. So again, I mentioned already, but I was wondering to myself if perhaps Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler teaches us this because he understands when it comes to business, you need to be a person of integrity working L'Shem Shamayim. Because if you're not working L'Shem Shamayim, then unfortunately, Ein sof lihitkayim, and especially, yes, in Torah, at the Agudah Convention, in politics, but especially when it comes to commerce and business, A person needs to remember that there is a Shemaim, there is a Rakia, there is a Ribono Shel'olam above them, and they are answerable to God. The name Samler therefore refers to Rabbi Yochanan's occupation. There are two explanations, and I saw this brought down also in Rabbi Lau. I'm quoting from the Sefer, but I looked up his biography in Rabbi Lau and Pirkei Avos as well. Rabbi Yochanan was a shoemaker or a cobbler. Sandler means he made sandals. Rabbi Yochanan also alternatively drilled holes, H-O-L-E-S, in pearls, which is called sanlachon, which is the Aramaic word for pearls, which was considered an extremely skilled profession in those times. Interesting. So either he was a shoemaker, which is a much more common, understanding of sandler, or he drilled holes into pearls. Toldos Tana'im v'amoraim suggests a third explanation, and this I saw brought down in Rabbi Lau. Sandler means from Alexandria. Sandler, Alexandra are phonetically similar. I'm not making this up. This is what's brought down. So perhaps it refers to the city where he originally hailed from. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. He was a sandler. Sandler also denotes the place he was born because it sounds similar to Alexandria. Okay, so he was a Jew who made Aliyah. When Rabbi Akiva was imprisoned by the Roman authorities, remember Rabbi Akiva was his Rabbi, for teaching Torah in public, Rabbi Yochanan risked his life to ask his teacher a halachic question. When a Jew finds himself in a quandary, what do? We go to the Rav for guidance. So Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler risked his own life to ask Rabbi Akiva for hadracha. He disguised himself as a peddler. Maybe he was peddling shoes. He walked next to the jailhouse and he was shouting, "Who needs needles, like for sewing? Who needs spinning hooks?" As he passed by Rabbi Akiva's cell, he quietly said his question. Rabbi Akiva saw him and said, "Do you have any spindles?" And then quietly answered the question. So this is brought down in Yerushalmi of Amos, one of the noteworthy acts of heroism of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler to perpetuate Torah, how he was able to access Rabbi Akiva even from the jail cell. During the ruthless persecution of the Romans, in the wake of the Bar Kokhba revolt, which is one of the disasters that befell our forefathers on Tisha B'Av, which culminated in the execution of Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues. Rabbi Akiva, of course, was one of the Asaru Gemalchus. Rabbi Akiva, we know the famous Gemara Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph, where they were scraping his flesh with metal combs. The Romans were ruthless in their persecution of the Jews in the aftermath of the Second Temple destruction. During this time, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar attempted to flee to Nitzavin in Bavel. They wanted to leave because it was a terrible time of persecution in Eretz Israel. To get to Nitzavin in Bavel to stand under Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. However, they didn't want to lose the mitzvah of residing in Eretz Israel, so they turned back. However, I told you when I was preparing here, I also was using Rav Lau, and Rav Lau tells the story more in depth. Here it sounds very simple. They wanted to go to Bavel to get away from the persecution, but they didn't want to lose the mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so they turned back. But Rav Lau tells it a little bit differently. I'm quoting Yalkut Shimoni. At one point, due to anti-Semitic decrees, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler decided to leave the land of Israel, which I just told you. He wanted to learn from Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who lived in Nitzavin Bavel. What happened? Our sages tell us once Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua and Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler were going to Nitzavin to learn Torah from Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. And this is the part that the art school sefer does not bring down. But when they came to Zaydin, another place, and recalled the land of Israel, so they're on their journey, they're leaving the Holy Land. Maybe Sandler represents also all the places he walked. He obviously had a very colorful life, a movement. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He leaves to go to Bavel. He goes back to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler spends a lot of time walking. When they came to Zaydin and recalled the land of Israel, their eyes filled with tears. Their eyes overflowed and they tore their garments. Actually, to our Kriya. They're on their way out of Eretz Yisrael. It's in the aftermath of the Churban, and it's a terrible time of persecution, and the Romans were not friends of the Jews. However, after crying and tearing Kriya, they returned home, and they proclaimed that living in the land of Israel is equal to all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So it's not just Stam. They didn't want to give up the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Lau quotes the Medrash more in depth, and we see the great ahava, the great love that Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler had for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah satulios ba'aretz. He would not leave the land. He tried to leave, Valibi b'mizrach v'anochi b'sof ma'arav, as he tried to walk to Babel to save his life. It was a time of persecution. He just couldn't do it. He couldn't take himself away from the land, and therefore he went back to Eretz Yisrael. Going back to the Art School Sefer, Introduction to the Talmud. Here we go. Continuing with the biography of Rabbi Yochanan Hassanah. It is possible, though, perhaps they did make their way to Rabbi Yehuda's yeshiva in Babel, but later, when the persecution lessened somewhat, Rabbi Yochanan returned to Eretz Yisrael and convened together with six of his colleagues, the other students of Rabbi Akiva. So he was a Talmud of the great Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest Torah personalities, really, to ever live in the history of our people. They decided the time was ripe to return the jurisdiction over the Jewish calendar to the sages in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they gathered in the valley of Rimon in the lower Galilee to proclaim a leap year. Just try and envision what we're talking about. He walked. These people lived. These giants lived. They handed us the Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Masorah comes from them. But when we throw around names without a biography, I'm talking to myself, I'm not telling you. You think I know all the biographies of all the great Rabbanim and the Tanaim and the Maraim that we constantly throw around names? I have no idea. And I think that's why this Sefer is such a gem, because it's important to understand that we're not talking about Malachim. He was born in Alexandria. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He tried to go to Babel. He went back to Eretz Yisrael. They had a meeting of the sages in the lower Galilee, in the valley of Rimon, to proclaim a leap year. Now, this is interesting because remember, he teaches us kol kenisyos l'shem shamayim sofal lehitkayim v'she'enu l'shem shamayim ein sofal lehitkayim. Any gathering that is for the sake of heaven will endure. Any gathering that's not for the sake of heaven will not endure. So you're going to hear in a minute that at this gathering in the lower Galilee, the sages got into a very heated argument. Right, we're not agreeing with each other. But remember what we said last time, l'shem shamayim. You don't necessarily have to agree. Eish and mayim, we said last time, don't agree. But they can respect each other and they learn how to get along. So Rabbi Yochanan Hassanah doesn't just teach us to make sure the kenisya is l'shem shamayim, but he actually lived it, as you're about to hear. During this assembly in the lower Galilee to proclaim a leap year, they became involved in a heated Torah discussion, with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi disagreeing as to what Rabbi Akiva had taught them about a certain law. Rabbi Akiva taught a certain law. Rabbi Meir says it was taught this way. Rabbi Yossi says it was taught that way. Although Rabbi Meir was the senior scholar and most eminent of Rabbi Akiva's students, Rabbi Meir was the most eminent, Rabbi Yochanan did not hesitate to defend Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. And one says one way, and one says the other way. I heard it from Rabbi Akiva like this. And the other one says, I heard it from Rabbi Akiva like this. And for whatever reason, either Rabbi Akiva had already been martyred and murdered, or perhaps at this point he was in jail, and they couldn't access him, so they're having a machlokas. And Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler stepped up, and he was not, no pun intended, get it? Sandler stepped up, no pun intended. Rabbi Yochanan stood up, and he said to Rabbi Meir, in defense of Rabbi Yossi's opinion, quote, I studied under Rabbi Akiva, listen to this, I studied under Rabbi Akiva while standing more than you studied under him while sitting. What does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan got up, HaSandler, and he says, I learned more from Rabbi Akiva while I was standing more than you learned from him while you were sitting. What does that mean? So the footnote says, in that time, the more advanced students would sit during the teacher's lectures, and the less advanced students would stand. It denoted a degree of accomplishment and intelligence and academic level, if you will, to stand or sit during the Rebbe Shir. The more advanced students would sit, the less advanced students would have to stand. So Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler was saying to Rabbi Meir was, I learned more while standing, i.e., I was a less advanced student in Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva, but I still learned more than everything you learned while you were sitting, meaning you were an advanced student, but you learned it wrong. So Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler was really stepping up to the plate, and he was really going to bat for the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And the other sages present at the Kenisya then declared the statement of Rabbi Yochanan of Alexandria is the truth. Despite the contentious exchange, the Gemara relates, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler harbored no ill will towards each other, and they did not leave the meeting till they embraced and kissed one another. That's from Yerushalmi Chagiga. So imagine today, I don't know, I hope it would happen, I don't know, But imagine today how, if there is such a machokas, do the parties leave smiling, shaking hands, hugging and kissing? Or do they leave with a feeling of animosity and strife because they argued about a certain point? It's very interesting. I didn't think about this when I was preparing Shir. So I can't clarify the exact story with my husband because I only remembered exactly now as I'm talking. But this past Shabbos, last week, Harav Asher Weiss Shlita and Harav Herschel Schachter Shlita were both, if you could call them, scholars in residence at the Young Israel of Wurmir. They gave a number of speeches and drashos and sessions over Shabbos. So my husband went to two of the afternoon shiurim. The first one was Rav Herschel Schachter spoke on Pirkei Avos at 6 o'clock, and then they had a question and answer with the poskim at 7 o'clock. The questions were submitted beforehand. So one thing my husband told me that he said was very interesting is that they said how, my husband said the Young Israel, the main sanctuary was so full they had to put chairs in the aisles to accommodate the overflow. Talk about those who are standing and those who are sitting. Today it doesn't work like that. One of the things that they said, Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, what they said is that they can sit down and they can talk together and they can do this presentation, even though on many matters of halacha, I don't know, many, some significant matters of halacha, they vehemently paskin differently and disagree with each other. That's truly machlokas l'shem shamayim. You can be a friend and you can accept someone else as a Jew and you can respect their opinion, even though you don't agree, and you can leave hugging and kissing. So Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler doesn't just teach us kol kenisya l'shem Shemaim Sofalit came. He lived called Kenisya Shehil Hashem Shemaim Sofalit Kayim because he defended Rabbi Yossi so much so that he almost, you could say, insulted Rabbi Meir. I learned more while standing in Rabbi Akiva's shir than you learned while you were sitting, meaning you're a more advanced student. I'm a less advanced student, but you have it wrong. And the sages defended his opinion, but when they left, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Meir, they were able to hug and kiss and embrace each other. And we have to wonder if we would be able, I'm not trying to emulate such exalted, pure behavior. And that's truly the Shem Shamayim. When somebody harbors no personal objection or ill will to the person on the other end of the argument, then that means it's truly the Shem Shamayim. But it's very hard not to allow our egos to be involved. And Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says, when you all gather for the sake of heaven, so fale hitkayim. Furthermore, continuing with his biography, Rabbi Yochanan's rulings are cited in a number of Mishnayos. His well-known Agadic teaching appears in Pirkei Avos, and he may have been alluding to the above assembly when he taught us this Mishnah. And now, the Sefer quotes our Mishnah of this evening. Any assembly called together for the sake of heaven in the end will be successful. And any assembly called together not for the sake of heaven will not be successful. And the Sefer says that perhaps, we don't know for sure, but Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler was actually referring to that meeting that was held in the Lower Galil when there was a machlokas, but they made sure that it was the Shem Shemayim. Interesting, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler has one more paragraph, has the distinction of having countless known descendants today. That's what it says. There's a tradition that the great medieval commentator Rashi, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, who lived from 1040 to 1105, traced his family tree back to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, who in turn traced his lineage all the way back to David Melech Yisrael. Many distinguished Torah scholars throughout the generations also have claimed they descended from Yochanan HaSadler. The Maharshal, Rav Shlomo Luria, Rav Yechiel Halpern, the Rabbi of Minsk, the author of Seder Hadoros, and Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. Did I even ever hear that? Where is he buried? Rabbi Yochanan HaSadler is buried in Meron. So he obviously lived in that region. He moved from Alexandria, Egypt. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He tried to leave, but he literally tore Kriya. His heart was so torn. He was crying over leaving Eretz Yisrael that he chose to return, even though it was a time of persecution by the Romans, rather than leave Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, he was died there, and he was buried in Meron. And that's the life and the times of Rabbi Yochanan HaSadler. So now let's go to commentary on this Mishnah. It's very similar. The idea of the Mishnah is very similar to what we learned last week. When you have a gathering, make sure that all the people are speaking and doing L'shem Shemayim. How much are the beets? 10 kopecks. How much are the potatoes? 10 kopecks. How much is the sugar? 10 kopecks. How much are the carrots? 10 kopecks. How could everything be 10 kopecks? I only know how to say one thing. Says Rav Chaim Brisker, I left the convention. I had nothing to say. Nobody was talking Torah, so I left. We have to make sure when we have a gathering that it is L'shem Shamayim, and that will be a gathering that will be Sofah L'Hitkayim. So I was looking in different Sfarim to prepare the Shir. I read a quote from Rav Lau. I looked in Rav Sham Shemfal Hirsch. I looked in Irving Bunim. I looked in Avos D'Rabbi Nasan. Okay, so I was looking through the commentary of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. I think this was my most exciting find of the whole week. And Baruch Hashem, I taught a lot of Torah this week, and it's hard to say that because it's all the most exciting limudim. But if you were with us last week or you listened to NYU Torah, you're going to be very excited for me. You know, if Micha Horowitz says something, so it's nice, it could be true. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe it's not true. I don't know. I mean, it made a lot of sense to me what we said last week. L'shem Shemaim. Do you remember what we said? Remember we spoke about Rabbi Zavla, first Korach, bald, Yitzhar, oil, Kahas, acid, Levi, accompaniment. If you missed the show, you could go back to listen to my Torah. It was extremely interesting. Korach didn't take anything from Yaakov because Korach was the ultimate divider and Yaakov was the ultimate joiner, if you will. Okay, 12 stones, one stone. 12 sons, one nation. Patriarch, grandfather, and father, combine them together. And then we went out on a little bit of a limb and we went back and we said, maybe that's why the Mishnah teaches L'shem Shamayim. Machlokas L'shem Shamayim. Shamayim is a compilation of Eshmayim. Remember? Does anyone remember the people I could see? Yeah. Eshmayim, thank you. So nice to see some faces. What did I have? What's today? Thursday? Yeah, my morning share, except for two people. Everybody was behind the black boxes. So, okay, everyone has to do what they want, what they need to do. So we said that Eshmayim is the ultimate opposite. L'shem Shamayim means look at fire and water, just like they can get along to do Ratzon Hashem, to be the Rakiyah Shamayim, so too we must get along. That's what we added on. So again, if I say something, even if it makes a lot of sense, I mean, it did make a lot of sense. I thought it was pretty amazing, but I didn't have a source. Guess what I now have? Hodu L'Hashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto. A source. So now it's for sure Emes. And I was so excited. When I opened up Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky's, it's on this Mishnah. It's not on last week's Mishnah. I wouldn't have, it's not on last week's Mishnah that we learned. It's on Perak Dal Mishnah Yadalid, Rabbi Yochanan Hassan Lar Omer. So we already quoted Rav Chaim Brisker. We had a beautiful biography. I hope you find it interesting. I've always been interested in Jewish history. I just don't have time for it so much. But it's amazing to know about these personalities. And now what did he teach? Now that we know who he was and when he lived and something about his life. And he taught, he practiced what he preached. He lived Knisya L'Shem Shemayim. And that's what he reminds us of. Kol Knisya Shehi L'Shem Shemayim Sofa L'Hitkayim. V'she'enu L'Shem Shemayim Ein Sofa L'Hitkayim. Here we go. Says Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky in Visions of the Fathers. I was so happy. Thank you, Hashem. The author, he quotes, the author of Binayos Barama gives this Mishnah a unique interpretation. Michal Horowitz also gave apparently a unique interpretation, which conveys an important psychological insight. The standard translation of L'Shem Shemayim is for the sake of heaven, but the literal meaning of the words is for the name of the sky. L'Shem, Shem, Mashemach, Mashemcha, Mashemech, what's your name? Shemayim, for the name of the sky. And the account of creation, could you imagine how excited I was when I read this? Do you understand? I said something last week. I didn't have a source for it. It made sense. I thought it was amazing. But I didn't have foundation. In the account of creation, the Torah says God created the firmament, the Rakia, and he called it the Shamayim. And Rashi says Shamayim is a composite of two words. I'm literally, if you have visions of fathers, open up to page 230, and you could be excited also. Or you could just listen to me and be excited. Rashi comments, the word Shamayim is a composite of two words, Eshmayim. The word Shamayim means God combined fire and water to form the sky. It gets better. Of course, fire and water are the prototypes of polar opposites that by nature cannot coexist. Either the water extinguishes the fire or the fire vaporizes the water. The miracle of creation was that God caused these two incompatible entities to join together to form the sky or the heavens. Thus, the sky, Rekia, becomes renamed Shamayim, to Baruch Shekivanti, to teach us it's possible for polar opposites to coexist and to cooperate to form the heavens. This is literally Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Thank you, Malki. So nice. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. I said last week Torah is amazing. I said I was very excited. But if Rabbi Dr. M.J. Tursky brings it down, so then it's Mamish Amas. I'm just very, very grateful that I only decided to teach this Mishnah because I read last week in Pirkei Avos. I said, oh, we just learned about the Shem Shemayim Thursday night, right? I'm meeting at Shabbos afternoon. This is the Mishnah I'm going to teach. Bezos Hashem, we should be well Thursday night. And then I sit down with my stack of Sfarim to prepare my shiur, and I open up Rabbi Dr. Tursky, and I said, whoa! Baruch Hashem. One of the so now it's Emes. Now you could go tell it over in his name. One of the prevailing concepts in our culture is that conflicts must be resolved. He takes it a step further. That was the Nakuda that I taught you, and we have to learn to get along, even if we're not exactly the same. He just words it a little bit different, Rabbi Dr. Tversky. So I am going to, he was, of course, worked so much with the human psyche and human emotion and relationships. One of the prevailing concepts in our culture is that conflicts have to be resolved. One of the goals of psychotherapy is to help people overcome and resolve conflict. And we believe that living with conflict is intolerable. But remember the biography of Rabbi Yochanan HaSander. And he had conflict with Rabbi Meir. They actually did not resolve the conflict. The conflict remained, just like Eish and Mayim remain polar opposites. I don't use the word enemies. That is a negative connotation. Polar opposites, but they coexist. All right, Dr. Tversky is going to teach us is that who says conflicts always have to be resolved? We always want to see a resolution to the conflict. But Eish and Mayim, thank you, separate entities, not enemies. I didn't mean enemies. That's why I didn't want to use the word. Eish and Mayim actually don't resolve their conflict. They learn how to live with it. And perhaps we would all be more peaceful internally. I mean, Adam Lechaveiro, if we learn to live with other people's differences of opinion than our own. This concept, going back to Rabbi Dr. Tversky, has also led to the attempt to resolve differences among religions. They may promote rotation of clerics. They invite rabbis to conduct services in churches, priests or ministers to conduct services in synagogues, interfaith. Rachmana Litzlan, officials and meetings and prayer services, because we're trying to resolve conflicts. Such dialogues have occurred since the Middle Ages, and history has demonstrated that despite our attempt to resolve these conflicts, they do nothing to eliminate hostility between advocates of different faith. He's saying that it's a misconception. We don't have to solve all conflicts. Who teaches us that? Shamayim. Kol kinisya shehi l'shem shamayim. Remember, Eish and Mayim don't agree. Rabbi Yochanan HaSander and Rabbi Meir did not agree. It would be well if we understood it is not always necessary to resolve conflicts. This is very fascinating. This is not how we think. Different faiths can coexist without compromise. A person can maintain good mental health even if he harbors some conflict. I'm going to say he could maintain much better mental health if he learns to accept the fact that there is a conflict, but I can live with it. That's L'shem Shamayim. Eish and Mayim will never be friends. They will always be, to quote Malki Sultan, separate entities. But it's more than separate entities, Malki. It's not only separate entities. They work against each other. They actually work against each other. Eish will dissolve Mayim. Mayim will put out Eish. They work, it's not just separate entities. They actually have friction between them. But they learn to coexist and not always to resolve a conflict. It certainly, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, would enhance family units if various members of the families could agree to disagree and maintain love and cooperation, even though they differ in ideas. Very powerful. Rabbi Dr. Tversky's interpretation of Torah is always so realistic in terms of our actions and our interactions, because this is Rabbi Dr. Tversky, the field of medicine in which he practiced. Human interaction, human happiness, human psyche, human emotion. And family members could understand L'shem Shamayim means the Eish and the Mayim will not agree. They will not see eye to eye. But they can learn to coexist for the sake of God and for the sake of peace. And that's a strong Musar Haskal. And it's something to consider. And I'm not giving you Musar. I'm sure it's something we've all faced in our lives because we don't always agree with every person we encounter. Do we attempt to resolve? And sometimes there is no resolution. Or do we learn to live with this, like Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Meir, who could hug and kiss each other despite their differences? This is equally true of any kinesia, says Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, any group that convenes to achieve something. It is virtually impossible, he says, to have unanimous opinion in a large group. There are so many different people. Mr. Yarmak, Alav HaShalom. You know Mrs. Joyce Yarmak, the principal of Shalamis? Does anyone know her? So her father-in-law, Alav HaShalom, used to be at the Nautilus. Years ago, he used to be at the Nautilus. And I still remember, he came to Shir, he was 99 years old, till 5 days before he was Nifter. He had an infection and he passed away. He loved Shir. And I still remember Pasha Shlach, he told me, you know why Moshe's spies weren't successful, but Yeshua's spies were? You can't send 12 Jews on a mission and expect them to get along, said Mr. Yarmak. He said, Yeshua sent two, so it worked out, there were only two. 12, it's not going to work. Rabbi Dr. Tversky says, his memory should be for a blessing. Rabbi Dr. Tversky says, any group that convenes to achieve something, there is bound to be difference of opinion. Rabbi Yossi held one way, Rabbi Meir held one way, Rabbi Yochanan took the side of Rabbi Meir. If people agree to disagree civilly, instead of trying to force a compromise when a compromise cannot always be reached, how much more could be accomplished at that kinesia? And then he brings up Hillel and Shammai, which was the Mishnah we learned last week. The schools of Hillel and Shammai were often in sharp disagreement. Nevertheless, they lived in harmony. And that, of course, so you see how this Mishnah relates to the Mishnah we learned last time. Whether it's a Machlokashi L'Shem Shemaim, a Kenisi L'Shem Shemaim, the key is to remember, like we learned last week based on my own thoughts, and this week based on Rabbi Dr. Tversky, that L'Shem Shemaim means just like fire and water can coexist, even though naturally they're enemies of each other. They are polar opposites. They work to put each other out. They can learn to compromise and get along. But here, Rabbi Dr. Tversky adds something we didn't have last week because I didn't think of it. You don't always have to resolve the conflict, which is very deep. You have your side. I have my side. We have to learn to hug when the kinesia is over and keep our own divergent opinions. Therefore, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, when the Mishnah says Shamayim, it should be taken literally, which is what I said to you last week. A composite of fire and water. Quote, two polar opposites that tolerated one another and united in harmony to form the heavens. And that's really the key to all of our human interaction. We may understand that God made the harmony of opposites in heaven, and we must accomplish this on earth. We must make the effort to establish harmony even when there is diversity. This is key. It doesn't mean you could have peace by everyone agreeing. It means you understand that you're going to be L'Shem Shemayim. They don't agree, fire and water, but they still have peace. We must make the effort to establish harmony even when there is diversity. The Mishnah therefore says, any assembly that can be in harmony, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, like Shemayim, will indeed produce long-term results. So I think, again, I was personally very grateful to Hashem for leading me to this. I am thrilled that our Dr. Tversky brings it down, because now I know it's MS. And we have to remember at all times in our lives, we add an extra nakuda, besides for the biography of Rabbi Yochanan Asander that we learned, that maybe all conflicts don't need to be resolved, because maybe there's not always a resolution. And L'Shem Shemayim doesn't mean it has to be resolved. It means you might remain and walk away from the meeting, like Rabbi Yochanan Asander, Rabbi Meir, and the Lower Galil, not agreeing. And maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan Asander was zochet to have so many illustrious descendants who can still trace their lineage back to him today. Because he was always a Kenisya L'Shem Shemayim. That will be Lehit Kayim throughout the Doros. His generation and his offspring continue to perpetuate the teachings that he taught us. Halavai, we should be zocha to integrate this into our lives. I thank Laura Huberfeld, and we all thank Laura Huberfeld very, very much. This year's Lilui Nishmasa Rivka Bas Avraham Tzvi, along with her husband, Alav Hashalom Pinchas ben Moshe Aaron. May both neshamos have aliyos and the merit of the Torah that we shared. I must ask, I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. We need sponsors for July. There's no Shir July 1st in Purim. There's no Shir July 1st. There's already a sponsor for next week, Baruch Hashem. There's no Shir July 1st, and July 15th already has a sponsor. So if you are able to sponsor, if you enjoy the Shir, if you benefit, if you retail, if you find yourself growing, and you're interested in helping to keep it going, please reach out to me or Miriam Goodman, and we will be happy to coordinate that with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, everyone, for learning. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Besuros Tovos. Kol Tov to all. Thank you.